Welcome to the Tarot Coven Cast. Real people, real talk, real magic. Hello out there, lovely listeners, and welcome to the Tarot Coven Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Jasmine.
And I'm Jekanovia.
And on this bonus episode, I'll be exploring the zodiac sign Scorpio while Jekanovia shares the magic of the Celtic tree sign reed. Let's get into it. It's Scorpio.
Are you so excited? Scorpio?
Like, literally been waiting since Aries just for Scorpio. So Here we are.
Okay, Scorpio, tell us all about yourself.
Oh, I would love to. So as always, we'll start things off with some approximate dates. Scorpio season typically runs anywhere from October 23rd till November 22nd. And in 2021, we're going to kick things off with Scorpio season on October 23rd. And we're only going to go until November 21st, although it is the sun does switch signs pretty late Eastern time on the 21st. Of course, Scorpio season encompasses Samhain and Halloween, and I don't know if you were going to talk about Samhain at all when you chat about Reed, Jekanovia, but if not, maybe we could do like a quick 101 refresher.
Yes, I hadn't planned to talk about it because we did have a whole episode on it that I think that was like a really long episode anyway.
It was, yes, it was a good one.
It was fun. But Samhain is, of course, October 31st. Well, technically November 1st. But that is your when the veil is thin. So you get to communicate with your ancestors. And there's, you know, that's your last harvest. And you're getting ready for the winter. And you're letting things die. And you're thinking about the future. So it's all that the death and the rebirth cycle. And it's, you're going into that really dark period of the year. So it's time to turn inward and, you know, connect with yourself and with your spirituality and with your ancestors. And yeah. That's how I like to use it. And pumpkin spice everything.
I was waiting for pumpkin spice something. All right, that's perfect. But yeah, as Jekanovia mentioned, we do have quite a thorough episode on Samhain. So you can definitely go back in the feed and check that out. All right, so the polarity for Scorpio, it's a feminine sign, so yin or receptive. You might want to say inhale, or it's a nighttime sign, which is also a nocturnal sign. And this kind of polarity tends to be introverted, magnetic, instinctive, and intuitive. And then we have the element. So this is the temperament of the sign. So it's kind of like the sign's constitution or disposition in a way. And Scorpio, of course, is a water sign. Water is wet and cold, and these signs tend to be intuitive, emotional, and sensitive. They're really motivated by feelings and mood. They tend to lead with their heart. They're very guided by the way things make them feel. They definitely benefit from listening to and trusting in their very often sharp sixth sense. They also benefit from developing outlets for mystical and creative endeavors. And we can think about the cup's suit when we are thinking about water signs in the zodiac. You know, it's the range of emotions. It's everything from joy to despair and all the vulnerability in between. And specifically for Scorpio, I kind of like to connect it the most in terms of the cup suit with the King of Cups. It's very intense, at least in like the Smith-Waite depiction. You know, the King of Cups kind of has a stern, not even a stern, but just a very intense sort of look on their face. And it's almost unreadable in a way, which I think a lot of people say about the way that a Scorpio looks very often. It's hard to read their initial feeling on something.
I can see that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I also think the King of Cups can kind of navigate rough waters, but can also sometimes be ignorant to them. Like sometimes Scorpio is so wrapped up in the self emotion that it doesn't really see all of the crazy emotions going on outside of it. So, but that's one sort of extreme to the other. All right. So next up is the modality. And this is a sign sort of typical approach to things. So it's kind of the way in which it might express. And Scorpio is a fixed sign. And here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's the middle of fall. So Scorpio is sort of the holding steady of fall. And fixed signs are very stabilizing, sustaining, persistent, determined, and you could kind of think of them as space holders, right? Like they're holding space for fall, in this instance anyway, with Scorpio. They are steady and slow to change, sometimes to the point of being stubborn or even rigid. But they definitely know how to follow through and stay the course. That feels really easeful for them, while starting new things might be more of a challenge. So when we combine the water element and the fixed modality, we get something like a river, or really any body of water that kind of has a fixed motion, any body of water that's kind of deep but also still. So I have seen Scorpio referred to also as a swamp, which I'm not super here for, but I do get it.
You know what? I love swamps. I don't think they get appreciated enough. There's so much life and it's just so unique and magical. I love swamps.
I think it's just that swamps are depicted as these like gross, mucky, sort of weird, dark areas, just in a lot of media. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's a swamp that's creature. But I mean, I agree. I still agree with the association. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
We could also think about things like plumbing, whether that's external plumbing or internal plumbing. It's the flow of fluid that moves in one direction. Or there's the ice cube, the emotional detective, the strategy, the risk taker. And then this time around, I decided to add in the planetary rulership to kind of think about all of these combinations and how they might manifest. And so when we add in Mars's rulership to the water element and the fixed modality, I think of things like steam, or a weapon with pretty extreme precision, the dying off and composition of all things, and kind of just the manifestation of grief.
Okay.
And then I also wanted to bring up the Five of Cups. This is one of the Scorpio cards in the deck, and typically, the Five of Cups depicts a figure that's like kind of stuck in their emotions, but also willing to give their emotions their due, like not shying away from their emotions. Again, it's kind of two extremes. It's like you get really stuck in those emotions, but you're also willing to see them for what they are and not just try to dismiss them or bypass them. So, as I just mentioned, the planetary ruler for Scorpio is Mars, and Mars is a planet of action, drive, energy, assertiveness, passion, and sometimes strife. It's the lesser malefic planet, which means it tends to represent the more challenging sides of life. Mars severs and cuts away and separates. And one of my favorite things I ever heard about Mars was that you can compare it to a knife, because a knife can kill, but a knife can also save. Like, think about a scalpel, you know? So surgeons and surgery and saving the life of somebody. So through the lens of Scorpio, we get precision and focus, we get the strength and determination of our emotions, and we get stamina. So then for dignities and debilities, this is where Venus is in detriment or exile. I'm sure you started to notice that Venus-ruled signs and Mars-ruled signs are always in opposition with one another. And to break it just like right down to the brass tacks, Mars separates and Venus unifies. So they're always going to kind of be at odds with one another in that way. You know, Venus wants to make connections, but Scorpio has qualities that kind of delay that connection. Scorpio can be a little sharp around the edges, while Venus brings a real softness to things. But there are some positive points about Venus and Scorpio. You know, it doesn't shy away from the tough stuff of being in relationship. And it's definitely a combination that helps us to get everything out on the table, all of the messy and complicated emotions that, when explored, can maybe help us come to a deeper place of intimacy with those that we're in relationship with. So this is also where the moon is in its fall or depression. And if we think about the moon as a planet or a, you know, a luminary body that's in constant flux versus Scorpio that has an extremely consistent nature, that you can kind of start to see where those things might be at odds with one another. The moon is really a place of nourishment and abundance versus Scorpio that's either kind of holding on to things for too long, which no longer is nourishing, right? Or it's seeking to really shed and release. So the moon is generative, whereas Scorpio is really about elimination.
I'm just thinking, because with me, Scorpio and the moon are just like, in my mind, they go together because it's all about the dark and the mysterious and, you know, not necessarily seeing the whole picture, but being okay with that. But this explanation makes so much sense, actually.
I do love a moon in Scorpio placement. I think it's one of the most witchy, badass vibes. Like, I really do like it. But from that more technical standpoint, I'm on the same page as you. Like, it just kind of makes sense when we think about the moon at its core sort of significations to bring life and to be nurturing and all of those things. I mean, Scorpio is just, again, it kind of reminds me of the Venus piece of it as well, where it's like Scorpio just kind of delays connection. It delays that kind of growth. It's very slow to come to those kinds of things. So I think a Scorpio moon, people with a Scorpio moon placement can probably really learn how to harness that placement and use it for the best possible way or whatever. But it's going to take a while. I think it's something that comes after time and learning and sitting with that moon in Scorpio. And and sometimes Scorpio can have a lot of stamina, but it's Mars ruled too, so there's still an impulsive quality somewhere there. So patience can be an issue.
All right, gotcha.
I swear I'm speaking from experience on this one, guys. Okay, so some keywords and themes for Scorpio. Its mantra would be "I transform." And it's represented by the scorpion, which I think of as being armed and armored. You know, like, it will hide away and it waits to strike. A scorpion doesn't pursue. It kind of waits for you to come and then it might attack you. You never know.
It might not.
It might not. Scorpio is also represented, though, in some traditions more often than the scorpion, but by the phoenix, which is really this representation of death and rebirth. And to me, the phoenix, it kind of comes like its newness comes from a release of the old, but also a reusing of the old. Like, the way that it is rebirthed from its ashes and then can fly anew from those ashes, it feels like it's built a foundation from its past. Which just, again, reminds me of the idea of composting. Like, you're never – and the death card in general, right? Like, you're never really saying goodbye to something forever because it's part of your experience and it will always be part of you, and you're just using it to create something new, I guess. So Scorpio rules the genitals. It's like the secret part of us, right? So I think this is where Scorpio's association with sex probably comes from. And with Scorpio, it's really more about the act of sex rather than, you know, like fertility or pregnancy or any of the other sort of outcomes of sex itself. It's more just that act.
Okay.
There's a need for deep involvements and intense transformations. Chani Nicholas says this about Scorpio: fixed water doesn't flow freely, but concentrates deeply. There's also this idea of regeneration versus abuse of power. And I really had to think about this one. So you'll probably notice that in every episode, I've said this idea of something versus something for each sign. And I've gotten that from the work of Demetra George. She's an amazing astrologer, and I'm just lucky enough to share the last name. There's no relation. But this one really made me think. And so what I came down to was that when the obsessive qualities of Scorpio take over and hold too much control over us, or just in general, when obsessive qualities take over and hold too much control, that's when we kind of get that abuse of power. Like, there's kind of a deep need to win, or maybe to correct loss in some way. And loss could be weaknesses, whether internal or external. So that's that regeneration piece, I think. Like, we want to keep, like I said, correcting that loss. But then if we lean into a place where there's too much control, then the obsession kind of takes over. And again, it's like those sides of the extremes, right?
Right.
So Scorpio is very determined, focused, intense, questioning, investigative, deep, mysterious, secretive, private, strategic. And I always see the word penetrating with Scorpio, and I think that that might have a link, again, to, like, its associations with sex. I think it also might be the resting bitch face that we all seem to have, as at least if you're a Scorpio rising, just the idea of, like, getting to the core of something. So I think that's why I always see that keyword, but...
Yeah, that feels more right to me, honestly. Like, you know, the extensive knowledge I have of Scorpios, but the term penetrating, like, to me, it's more of you're able to just cut through the bullshit.
Like, right.
Just the point, get it over with and get it done.
I think that's where I like to lean with that keyword too. And even if it's not, even if it's not a direct getting to the point, it that can also be part of the obsessive quality too. Like, I think a Scorpio does seek to just like understand what the truth is of something, just to understand what's going on. And they'll just keep penetrating at that surface to try and get deeper and deeper and deeper. So
yeah, find out the cause.
Yes, exactly. Scorpio has a deep level of depth perception. I think Scorpio energy can really help us to feel things that we might otherwise dismiss, going back to that Five of Cups. People with a lot of Scorpio energy are probably already willing to go to those depths, or they may already live in those depths, but we will also seek them out as well. Again, just penetrating that surface until you can get underneath it. Scorpio energy and Scorpio, people with a lot of Scorpio in their chart, can be a little suspicious and distrustful, or a lot suspicious and distrustful. Let me not sugarcoat it. And I think that, okay, maybe to sugarcoat it a little bit, the energy can help us to be better learners because we do question what's being taught rather than just accepting things at face value. But at its worst, I think that this suspicion and distrust can also lead to paranoia and delusions and the creation of and belief in conspiracy theories. I mean, the further you get and the further you get into your own little cave of that, the worse it might be, you know?
Yeah.
So thinking about the combination between a fixed sign and the rulership of Mars, this is like carefully arranging and crafting a master plan. It's a bit of a detective, a sleuth, a researcher, mining, plumbing. This is kind of what I was just saying, but like, what's under that rock? What's at the bottom of that barrel? What's really going on here? These are questions I think that really work with Scorpio energy. Or even how far can we go? How close can we get? There's a bit of risk-taking energy when it comes to Scorpio. Like, your level of danger for risk-taking may vary depending on how much Scorpio you have in your chart or what house it's ruling over. But I think that's part of the Mars stuff too. Like, the risk might just be what makes something attractive anyway. But there's also that, like, well, if we take the risk, then we're going to find out the truth behind this or whatever it may be.
That just seems like a, almost like a healthy curiosity for the most part.
I think that's the nicer side of the coin, right? Like, and going back to what I was saying about being better learners under Scorpio energy, because you are looking to find, to uncover all of those secrets, to figure out like, okay, why are they telling me this? Why is it being posed this way? But yeah. And so that's a healthy curiosity, but curiosity also did kill the cat, I guess. So
so they say.
So you just never know. But yeah. So the tarot. So the tarot. The tarot. It's a bit like Maz. Okay. Tarot associations with Scorpio. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, there's the death card, which associates with Scorpio itself. Then we have the tower, which is associated with Mars. The Five of Cups is Mars in Scorpio. The Six of Cups is Sun in Scorpio. The Seven of Cups is Venus in Scorpio. So finally, we'll talk about how to use Scorpio energy during Scorpio season. And of course, as always, you're going to want to first look to what house Scorpio rules in your chart, because that's the area that the sun will be bringing illumination to during Scorpio season. And then you'll also want to look to where your Mars is, as its placement can help to further define the Scorpio house purpose, direction, or quality. So coming out of Libra season, which is an air sign, we talked about how that can, the quality of an air sign can be wet and hot. We're moving into Scorpio season, which is a water sign, wet and cold. It's a similar shift from when we move from Gemini to Cancer season, again, air sign to water sign. And so I think we're still looking to create bonds, you know, like wetness binds. You can think about when you're baking, you know, you use certain elements to make things stick together, right?
Yeah.
But they're more intimate and maybe even internal. The cold really draws that down and sort of in. So it is a time when we're looking within, as well as I think the bonds that we're creating and the moisture and the stickiness that we're looking for is with the people that we're already close with. We're kind of doubling down on those relationships. Right. And still talking about that shift from Libra to Scorpio season, when the sun is in Libra, the sun is ruled by Venus. So there is a focus on the other. But when the sun moves into Scorpio, the sun is now ruled by Mars. So we kind of have a better ability to focus on the self. And it's not selfish. It's almost like a self-responsibility in a way.
Okay.
And of course, we mentioned, you know, we have Samhain and Halloween happening in Scorpio season. So you want to do your celebrations, however you like to celebrate. You can always listen to our Samhain bonus episode. And I think we talked about, this is further down in my notes, but I think we talked about the idea of a dinner with your ancestors or something.
Yeah. There's I don't like the term, but it's also called a dumb dinner.
Right.
So you just set a place. You set a chair and a plate of food and everything with you at your table, not like off in a corner or anything like that. But
right.
And so you're inviting your ancestors to join you.
I think that's such a great idea. Also, sort of easy because you're probably going to have at least one meal every day during Scorpio season. So you could literally just put out a plate or a bowl next to you. And yeah. I mean, maybe you want to make it more ritualized at one of those things and use a nice placemat or light a candle or put out things that you know. I mean, if you're using an ancestor that you actually knew, you could put out things that they liked or offerings or whatever.
Oh, yeah. But
I think it's such an easy thing to do like every day during Scorpio season.
Exactly. Like if you're curling up, like say you and your grandma used to watch a certain movie, I don't know, Breakfast at Tiffany's together. You could just pour them a little bowl of snacks and set it beside you, you know, and then you have your bowl of snacks and you just watch it. And then that's your...
Yeah,
you know, you can modernize it.
Yeah, you don't even have to be sitting at the quote unquote dinner table, you know?
Yeah.
So it's also a great time for release work, like truly, honestly, looking at what doesn't work and letting it go. I think we all talk about release work, especially in this community, very, very often. But Scorpio is a time, I think, when you can get super serious about it. You know, maybe you want to do some rituals for letting go, cord cutting, just embrace the transformation that comes from that. You know, the energy will already be working in your favor towards those things. So if there's been something that you've been reluctant about letting go, like this would be a great time to just surrender to it. Also a good time for researching or going deep with something in general, shadow work. I feel like that comes up a lot with release work in general. Like they don't always go hand in hand, but I think that they can quite easily. Might be a time when you're better able to be more vulnerable. I was thinking back to the Scorpio tarot challenges that I've done on Instagram, and it always seemed to bring up so much for everyone. Like I would always get messages about how much the prompts were bringing out of them. And I think it was always surprising to me because I think I live in that zone a lot of the time, but it was so cool to hear that it was helping other people get to that space. So if you're not typically a person that's as comfortable with vulnerability, then this might be a time to sort of get more in touch with that. And even if you just use the 30 days to be super vulnerable and then you go back to not being vulnerable, like that's fine. Yeah. I mean, at least you took the time to start and try. And And like part of that vulnerability and maybe part of the release work will just be being more open about some secrets that you have, like getting those things off your chest. Like I'm not talking about gossip or anything, but something that you've been holding on to that if you were to just say it even to one person, it might help you feel better in that way. However, if you do have a lot of Scorpio energy, maybe you're, or whatever, you're just used to being open and vulnerable, then Scorpio season might help you to go the other way and be a little bit more private and mysterious. You know, it's okay to go dark for a few weeks too. Maybe it's a good time to stay off social media or work on a project that you're not ready to share with people. Like embrace the mysterious side of Scorpio. I think that jealousy and distrust might both be a little bit more potent at this time, both internally and externally. So just something to be on the lookout for, as well as obsessive qualities. And we've talked already on this episode about how we can maybe use, you know, that healthy curiosity, that healthy obsession efficiently, like get obsessed with a new hobby or get obsessed with self-care, get obsessed with a release work or all of those kinds of things, right? Easier said than done, but don't use these obsessive qualities for kind of losing yourself in thought processes and things that make you spiral and that kind of thing. But I mean, you know, again, easier said than done. Definitely reach out if you need it. It's also a good time to explore mystical or kind of taboo, quote unquote, practices. I mean, Scorpio energy can be pretty dark. It wants to unearth things. So go look to those secretive practices. I think everyone should howl at the full moon this Scorpio season, or do something similar that puts you in touch with a deeper, more primal part of your psyche. If you've never howled at the full moon, I can 100%, 10 out of 10, recommend. It is so freeing and so releasing. And it's just funny. Like, you can just laugh at yourself afterwards, too. It's just great.
Great.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So also connecting with death, your own or those you've lost. So as I mentioned before, the dinner with your ancestors, or however you kind of want to honor your ancestors, watching the movie with them, et cetera, et cetera. It might also be like, I don't know if this is morbid, but a time to plan your own funeral. Like, we're also afraid of death most of the time, but maybe Scorpio energy will help us. I don't know, even if it's a joke, not a joke, but I mean, even if you're thinking about this in a sort of lighter tone, it might just be interesting to explore what you even think you would want out of that part of your afterlife. Do you want people to go to a funeral? Do you want to be cremated? I don't know. I don't have to go much further into that, but thinking about your own death is, I don't know, maybe less weird during Scorpio season.
Yeah.
So I think it's also a good time to listen to your dreams and intuitive hits. Even if you're used to that, maybe just even getting into it, doubling down on it. It is a water sign. So those kinds of things are, I think, a little bit more potent during water sign seasons. Definitely be gentle with yourself. I mean, deep emotions might be getting stirred up, and it's okay if you're not ready to share, but maybe at least acknowledge internally what's coming up for you. Write it down. Have a think on it. You don't have to tell anybody, but as long as you know what's going on, I think that's better than just ignoring it. And then get your master plan for the next few months or year or weeks or days or hours, whatever you want, in order. I think that there's a lot of good strategic energy on our side during Scorpio season.
That was yummy.
Well, I hope I delivered.
That was
Scorpios everywhere.
Silver platter and everything.
Excellent.
This is how my brain works. Okay. When you say something, I'm still listening to everything else, but I'm still remembering the things you said. And then I think of other things and I'm like, now I'm going to have to jump all the way back. Because there was one part when you were like, like that release work, like honestly looking at things that maybe you haven't wanted to release, you haven't wanted to do in so long. And then I was like, it's like that, fuck it, that moment where you're like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just like, Totally. Follow that urge. Like, yes. That can even be that intuitive push that you've not saying you've been too chicken to do it, but just not comfortable doing it. And you just get to that point where you're like, let's just get it done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that just reminds me of the death card too. Like, sometimes I think for certain people, when that card comes up, it's a nice little permission slip to be like, okay, I can let it go. Like, whatever. Yeah. See you later. Great.
Yeah. 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 You just get to that point where you're like, I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, that feels like Scorpio energy though. It really does. It's like you take it, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get there.
Yeah, yeah, which I think, again, can be both good and bad. Like, I think that the eventual breaking and being like, okay, I'm good, like, can't be doing this anymore, like, that's obviously an eventual positive. But also, I know, just speaking from my own experience, having Scorpio rising, Scorpio sun, Pluto there, being obsessive about certain things and holding on to them for too long is also definitely a risk for Scorpio energy.
Right.
And so get to those points of fuck it, let it go sooner. That's a good thing to work on.
Speaking
for myself too, 100%.
Yeah. I love it. It's like inspiring though. Like, it's just like, I don't know if this is a Scorpio thing, but like when you say things like that and you're open about these kinds of things, it's almost like, okay, cool. I'm not alone. So now I can do it too. Now I have permission to. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I hope that's, I hope that goes for other people too.
Yeah. Don't fear the tower.
Yes. Right. I mean, I don't know. I've always wondered if that was just a me thing or if that was a Scorpio thing or if it's a mix of stuff that all those like quote unquote scary cards in the tarot, I'm always like, oh, what does it mean? Give me more. Sun, oh my God, it's so bright, whatever.
That one's obvious.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, well, I am so excited to hear about Reed because this is obviously, I mean, it's for selfish reasons. It's my tree. I can't wait to learn about it.
Yes. Okay, so I had to try really hard not to just mold this around you. So I tried to steer clear of like personality traits and stuff.
Okay,
so I was like,
okay.
I don't know. It's just in my mind, it's just you.
Right. So. That's so funny.
Yeah. So yeah, if this seems to be not so personalized, it's because I intentionally did that. So it wasn't just Jasmine.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So for Reed, it is Nettle in the Ogham alphabet, and it's spelled N-G-T. What is it? N-G-E-T-A-L. So it's funky. Mm. So if I pronounce that wrong, that's why. And I apologize.
Cute though.
So yeah. So the approximate dates are really close to Scorpio season. So it's October 28th to November 24th. And I think this might be the closest match that we've had yet.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah. Because that's really just a few days after. A few days after both, right? And so now yeah. I'm like, is this also Elena's tree sign? I believe it is.
I think so.
I think this is also, actually, now I know. I've checked my calendar. So this is also Elena's tree sign.
Ah, yay.
So exciting.
Okay. So this is both of you.
Unless, this is great. I mean, I know it's so much different within the Celtic tree astrology, but I was going to say yeah. we could look at the degree of where the sun is too, but you guys are more into cusps than I am, so.
I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're all talking about. It's just good fun. So I learned, while I was doing a bit of research for this episode, I learned that when it comes to the Celtic zodiac, it actually makes a difference what moon cycle it was during the time you were born. So it could be a full moon read or a new moon read or a, you know, first quarter. So I didn't realize that before. So it makes, so you have different traits depending on when in the moon cycle you were born within each of these.
That's really cool.
Obviously, I definitely don't know anything about that. So I'm not going to go into it. I just wanted to make everyone aware that now you have brain candy to go explore. You're welcome.
That's really cool because, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, you have your sun sign, but you also have your moon sign in
right?
like Western astrology. So there's ways to make it so specific to you, right?
That's
and
what
this
I
is
thought.
Another thing. Yeah, that's so cool. I love that.
Yeah. So hopefully, maybe by next month, I'll have more information because, of course, I want to learn, but I just didn't have time to dive into that this time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay. So this is the 12th month of the tree calendar. And from the Handbook of Celtic Astrology by Helena Patterson, it is 5 degrees, 0 minutes Scorpio to 2 degrees, 59 minutes Sagittarius. All right. So the polarity is masculine and active. And it was really interesting because in what I can see, it's not so much that like dominating, like, let's just do this energy. It's more that creative force, but it's like this really solid, not overbearing. It's just like this gentle, quiet, still manifestation. Like it's still growing, but you can't see it. It's like that minute. Oh, I don't even know the right words to say for it. But yeah, it's like the growth that you just don't see happening until you look back and realize yeah. how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
So the element is water and the ruling planet is Pluto. Deities associated are Pluto, Psyllium, Arawan, Conventina, Caradwyn, Morrigan, Rhiannon, and Poseidon. Okay, so the mythology and symbols behind the reed is the mystery of death, of course, silence, fertility, the underworld, the white hound. Now, with the white hound in Druid tradition, it's a very sacred creature. So it's very wise, the most loyal of all creatures on earth. But it does have the capacity to become obsessive and jealous, and it can be the source of its own destruction. So,
oh, okay.
when you were talking before about like kind of that slippery slope, like, you know, yes. it can go really dark. I was like, oh, that sounds like the white hound.
Yeah, totally.
So really like that parallel. Now, one of the symbols is just called the stone. So I'm sure that just means like actually earth grounding energy. But I keep getting this like sword in the stone vibe.
Okay.
So like uncovering the truth, so the truth is hidden or concealed or, you know, has to be, you have to work for it.
Yeah.
So that's just the vibe I got from that. So it also symbolizes wisdom and education, keeping things to yourself, but like, it's not like keeping secrets. It's just not feeling the need that you have to show all of yourself to all of the world all of the time. So it's okay to keep parts of yourself secret and just for you or just for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the hidden meaning of any situation or experience. So this could also become kind of obsessing over an experience and trying to find more meaning that's really than is really there. So perhaps you go through something that wasn't fun and you just all you want to do is know that it wasn't for nothing. But it's like, no, you get to that point where you're just like, no, I got to move on. So it's more of that release, right? Mm-hmm. Symbology and sacred science are really important. So, but it's not even so much a study of like ancient symbology or, you know, what other people see in these signs. It's you noticing things and finding meaning in it for yourself and what it means to you. And you can even pass that information on to other people. Gotcha. So it may mean something completely different to somebody else, but when you see it, you interpret it as something that's very accurate and unique to yourself. So if this is something that you do, I highly suggest that you don't keep it to yourself. This is not one of those things to keep secret, because you might be getting messages for other people around you that would be really healing for them, and in turn would be really healing for you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it's all about the heart. So it's getting the heart of something, kind of relaxing into feeling things, relaxing into emotions and being vulnerable, seeking answers to mysteries. And that can be mysteries in your own life, like maybe, you know, I don't know, old family stories or something like that. You want to find out the source or something.
Yeah.
Investigation, looking for information. A lot of journalists really like the vibe of this season because it just kind of motivates them so that they just get all these new ideas and they get, you know, new leads and more success in, you know, following those leads and it leading to actually something rather than just a dead end. Mm-hmm. Read people can have an interest in history and archaeology sometimes, but that can also just be an interest in, they don't really care. No, I shouldn't say they don't care, but they don't have an interest in kind of what they were doing. What they have an interest in is what effect that has on them now. Hmm. So like what people did in the past and how it translates into today.
Gotcha.
So people under the read sign, they are suckers for a great story.
Sure.
They will sit and listen or watch or whatever. They are very creative and artistic, and they have a really deep appreciation for different kinds of arts, like different modalities, not just, you know, not just wall art or anything. It could be like music and movies, right, and everything.
Pottery, whatever.
Everything, yeah. Determination and refusing to give up are very powerful traits. So if you're born under this sign, you may be seen as stubborn or you may be seen as headstrong. But try to turn that around, because that's not always a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Diplomacy and tact are really huge skills that people under this sign have. And this can also be a time where it's easier for people who don't necessarily have a lot of tact, or they're not really great at communicating in a nice, unoffensive way. Mm-hmm. This season could really help you kind of streamline that and figure out what to say in a way that's not going to offend or harm or hurt other people. And also, this can also be a season that really calms tempers and calms anger. So if you find yourself that you get really passionate and you just blurt things and you don't have a filter, this is a good time of year to really practice that and kind of tone it back, so that moving on through the rest of the year, you can really get a handle on it. It's just like this is the energy to start getting that under control.
Hmm. Well, that's a nice balance to have, I think, with Scorpio season. I mean, obviously every Scorpio season is different because wherever the planets are causing other sort of influence and stuff, but just being Mars ruled, like, to me, temper and blurting things out kind of feels inevitable sometimes under that rulership. But yeah, I think it's also part of the lesson of that energy to work towards something better. Or more productive, I should say, or efficient.
Well, just actually when you're saying that, I just kind of got the image. So like going back to Scorpio a little bit, if you just think of a scorpion, they don't just blurt anything. They are very, when they attack, they are very intentional and fine-tuned, and it is one strike and it's done. So maybe that's it. It's like, make sure you're not misplacing your anger or your frustration or whatever. Maybe it's nothing negative. Maybe it's something that's more of like, where are you putting your passion right now? Like, could you not direct it better? So that kind of energy too works for this time of year.
Yeah.
Okay. So people under this sign are very big on confidentiality and discretion. They can be trusted with your deepest, darkest secret, and they will never, ever divulge it, no matter what. They have loads and loads of friends, but not in a superficial way. They have different friends for different reasons. So some of them might be based on like a common hobby that they share, and other friends will be based on like a childhood connection that they had, Like, so there's all these different types of friends. So like if they all got together in the same room, people would be like, what do you have in common? There's like nothing here, but it's all because it's these different facets of the Scorpio that's brought them all together.
That's so funny. I mean, I know you tried to make this not about me, but so much already of what you've said feels
See
so,
what I mean?
It feels so resonant though. Like, and I can't believe that I didn't say any of this about Scorpio, but that loyalty thing, that you can trust them with stuff like that. And this is another one of those like two sides of the coin. Like Scorpio's really slow to trust and let you into that circle. But then like once you're there, you get to know everything and they will never break your trust. Yeah. Like you have to do something pretty fucked up to make that happen.
Yeah.
Also, you only get one strike. So
yeah.
Watch out. But yeah, no, it's just like that's so it's such a beautiful connection. Like it's all really resonating between Scorpio and Reed. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I think it's pretty great. Well, it's funny that you said that because one of my notes here is like, you know that saying, hell hath no fury? And I kind of get the feeling that was kind of coined by somebody describing a Reed person or yeah, Scorpio person.
Yeah. Love it.
But I mean, that's just a personal opinion on that. But That was a very nice segue. Thanks for that.
Sure.
All right. So, we already talked kind of about shadow work, kind of facing your demons. And I'm going to call them demons because I think at this time of year, we need to just call things what they are. Like, sure. Let's not sugarcoat, like you were saying earlier, like no more sugarcoating. So face your demons. They're not your struggles. They're not your challenges. Those are your demons. Face them, slay them, grab that sword, pick it up, get it over with, say, fuck it. Time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about independence and stability. And that can only be achieved after you've slayed your demons. Because otherwise, those things are always, you know, that if you're codependent or you're reliant on other people, that's always going to be something hanging over you and it's going to stop you from moving forward. Also, if you're someone who is afraid of showing your weakness, now, and this does play into vulnerability, but this is more along the lines of like, be okay with crying. Be okay with canceling plans. Be okay with saying, I am fucking exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Just say it. Be honest about it because you can't fake it any longer. Mm-hmm. When you get to this point in the year, there's no more time for faking. We're done. So this is just not the time for fake it till you make it.
Yep.
People under this sign, they want to change the world, but they're doing it undercover and nobody's ever going to like, you know, in the future, when somebody says, hey, this amazing great change happened in the world, nobody's going to know the name of the person or the people who were behind it. This is the way the Reed people like to be. They just like to see the result. They don't want the glory because that just brings too much attention and they like their privacy. They don't like to be center of attention in that way. You might find that your passions are very much amplified this time of year, and that kind of brings in that emotional thing. So your emotions are starting to come into play and push everything to the surface. So when you're feeling extra passionate, whether it's about something, you know, maybe you're passionate about a hobby, or maybe you're getting into passionate debates mm-hmm. about things or something like that, that's that energy coming out. Try not to stifle it, but do try to streamline it so that it is not damaging to people.
Right.
So choose your words wisely. Finally, this is a signal that it is time to let go and forgive. So this time of year, it's all about the forgiveness, releasing, let it go. But if you do see any of the symbolism of the Reed, so, you know, that white dog or, you know, an odd stone that just happens to be in your path that doesn't seem to belong there, just take that as a sign that what am I holding on to? What am I thinking about right now? Why am I hanging on to it? Let's let it go.
I really like that. Because I'm just thinking about like when I'm out for a walk with the dog, like it would be so easy for me to keep an eye out for those kinds of things. And I think probably for a lot of people, but I love when you bring things up with these signs that is so accessible and easy for us to do in everyday life. And it's not this big spell that we need to block out 45 minutes for. Those are great too, but it's so nice.
Yeah, there's a time and a place.
I mean, you're the queen of mundane magic. We know this, but it's just always so nice to hear those examples.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I do love a good ritual and
for
stuff.
For sure.
Like, if we're being honest, like the original ancestors that did this work thousands of years ago, they didn't have time. They didn't. No, they did not do all the bells and whistles. They saw the sacredness in every moment of every day.
Right.
And they lived with that. So
yeah, beautiful.
Okay, we're almost through. Okay, so divination associations. We've got The runestone is Perthril, which is all about mysteries, secrets, kind of wisdom, the unknown, and the unknowable. That's the part that I got. I know. I didn't even write it in a note because I was like, I just want to say it. So the unknowable is stuff you're never going to know. We're never going to know the answers to some things. And that's okay.
Ugh, I am just so attracted to that too. I love
that. I know. Because it's the pursuit, right? It's, mm-hmm, it's not finding out. That's not, it's the pursuit that gives you that rush.
Yes.
Yeah.
The number one reason I love Twin Peaks is because you'll never understand it fully.
And from what I gather, every time you think about it, you're going to understand it in a different way.
Yes. Yeah. And it's that pursuit. You're right. That's the exact word. Yeah. So good.
That's the thrill. Okay. And the tarot. So Ace of Swords, that kind of circles back to the whole Sword and the Stone vibe. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But brings you back to that. The Fool. So being flexible, not really reacting to things, but going with the flow. The Magician. And this could just be because of the time of year, because it's just like magic is everywhere, because it's just... It's Samhain. Yeah. It's Scorpio season.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So the High Priestess, of course, pulling in wisdom and secrets from beyond the veil. Four of Cups, which was odd, but I sat with it and I realized why it came up. So it's kind of like a listen to the whispers rather than, you know, trying to always be the one doing the talking or always asking the questions. Just sometimes all you need to do is just sit and shh, and then the answers are going to come to you. But it's going to be whispers. It's not something you're going to hear when you're constantly droning on, you know, listening to videos or talking to people or listening to podcasts. Not that you shouldn't listen to our podcast, but when there's always noise, sometimes you're going to miss things because you're not listening to yourself.
Totally.
Of course, death, possibly more because it's the time of year, but also because this is all about the underworld. This is all about being okay with death and letting things go and release. And finally, the Hermit, who is the teacher, the mentor figure. And very much in touch with his, you know, his spiritual practice, as well as the mundane everyday wisdom. And that's what I have for read.
Ugh, I love it. That was great. What does this, I mean, I'm so sad to say this, but what does a reed tree look like? Is it those reeds like at a pond, basically?
Yeah, it's just, as far as I know, yes, it's just like those reeds that would grow in very marshy land.
Okay.
The reason that, well, I know the Druids considered it a tree because it has really solid roots. And that's where you get that independence and stability energy from. Because, yeah, the root of them is just crazy huge. So that's why they considered it a tree.
And I mean, I don't know how much you know about this, but do they grow near kind of any type of body of water? Or is it like, because now I'm thinking about this connection with Scorpio, like, is it more still water that it's maybe growing by or rivers or...
I think it's mostly still water, but you know, some rivers would have it too. Well, see, what I consider reed may not be what was considered reed by the ancestors across the ocean.
Okay.
But from what I have experienced, reeds do grow pretty much anywhere as long as the soil is really rich and wet and moist.
Okay. So it's really just like a close to kind of water or, I mean, it's usually like right there, right by the water.
Yeah.
Cool. I love that Scorpio is the water sign and this reed is growing. I mean, it's nourished and thriving by water.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, that was a fun episode. I mean, I know that we say that all the time, but I like really mean it this time.
Well, of course, because it's Scorpio, right?
I'm just kidding. I always mean it. I just extra mean it this time.
Yeah. Well, it was fun to talk about Scorpio. I like Scorpio because it's just so like, I don't know, like steampunk. That's the only thing I can always just, all I can think of is like Victorian steampunk is just totally Scorpio in my mind.
I love that.
Like you macabre.
Yes, definitely. Like 100%. Like, I mean, maybe it's the connection with the movie A Nightmare Before Christmas, but Scorpio season always makes me think of like a Tim Burton film because it's.
Yep.
The weirdness of stuff like that, but also you're right, like the macabre of all of that, like taking fairy tales and putting blood on them, basically, like, you know, making them grim and dark. And
exactly.
Cool.
It's so much fun.
All right. Well, so that's going to do it for this bonus episode. And we'll be back, of course, next month with another one. It will be Sagittarius. And I can't remember, but you know, I'll say it in the outro. So you'll find out in just a couple seconds anyway. But thank you so much for joining us. And happy Scorpio season.
And happy read season.
Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode of the Tarot Coven Cast. Stay tuned for our next bonus episode, where we'll be covering the signs Sagittarius and Elder. And until then, everyone, keep making magic.